Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out, procrastination, putting it off, kicking the can down the road. In, plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out, carpet in the bathroom. Like, why? In, knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
If you have health insurance, you might be able to see a personal dietitian for $0 out of pocket. Nourish connects you with a dietitian that fits your needs, covered by your insurance. Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans, and 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Meet with your dietitian online and message them anytime through the Nourish app. With hundreds of five-star reviews from real patients, you know you're in good hands. Find your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Adetula.
All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Appreciation again to our guy B. Scott for joining us in the last hour. Let's get back to a national championship game. Let's really fully exercise all the demons on this one.
I've been trying.
We're hoping to do it. Like, it's just an immersion therapy kind of day, I guess. What's gonna haunt the most about this particular game? 713-572-4610. I did ask earlier when I talked about Spencer Arrighetti getting hurt in a very weird way. What's the weirdest way that you've gotten injured? Someone said they jumped off a boat on land where a pine wood was that had a pipe underneath it.
Ooh.
Landed on it, rolled and broke their ankle. The roll in the ankle, I saw the breaking of it has got to feel really dumb.
Yeah.
I had a pretty significant sprain one time just from, like, I did one of those basic sprains of your ankle playing basketball. Mm-hmm. And I just kept playing.
Don't do that.
Yeah, well, I know now that I'm older and a hopefully smarter human being.
Yeah.
All right, let's talk about this game. What were kind of the larger things for you? What's going to haunt the most? Because, I mean, there's definitely one thing in particular that's going to sit with me.
Well, the one thing for me is just how uncanny and similar it was to 42 years ago. I mean, from 1980, I can't get over that. Like, you know, everybody's had, like, something bad happen, you know, hopefully nothing horrible, but something bad happened to you or in your life. And then the exact same thing happens again.
A little deja vu.
Yeah, but it's not even deja vu. It's real.
Deja vu all over again.
Yeah, that's what I can't get over, because let's go through some of the things that are similar. So 1983, Guy V. Lewis, 61 years old, probably his best chance to ever win a national championship.
Certainly his best.
And an ungodly good team. And he's facing a 37-year-old coach with an upstart program and loses in an amazing way at the end of the game when, by all rights, the Cougars should have won. That sounds an awful lot like last night, man. 69 years old versus 39 years old. Clearly the better team last night. I don't think a lot of people would argue that. At least, you know, you got to give the Gators credit for the second half. But clearly, you know, rolling and in control. And then you lose in the most remarkable way possible with one of the players that you just consistently count on, you know, losing the ball, losing his dribble, and the game slipping away. That's just one similarity. Number one, the ages of the coaches, the fact that it's U of H again, and then there's this, and I think it's kind of sad, to be honest. Like, that Duke game should go down as one of the all-time great moments. I think it's going to kind of be lost in the sauce over the course of time.
Yeah.
Like the Louisville game when U of H played Louisville and just absolutely, it was the best game I've ever, one of the best college basketball games I've ever seen in my life. And it's lost in the sauce.
Yeah.
Because they ended up not winning the championship.
It's going to be something that locally and amongst, like, UH supporters is going to it's going to resonate. We're going to recall this. I mean, it was an incredible basketball game that we had a particular interest in, but it no longer becomes a part of the story of the championship for now the champion Florida Gators. Like, maybe some people, if they're like prone to being more historian than not, they'll go, and the reason why you did not face Duke is because the blah blah blah, right? And maybe they'll go to that point, but it would be
so much more powerful,
so much more powerful. It's like, yo, this was the crowning achievement, to the point where we knew, okay, the team of destiny that's going to get to that end point. Absolutely one of those things that's going to haunt. Some things already coming in, like that no goaltending call.
Yeah, I had that on my list.
At the beginning of the game, or early in the game, where if you
want to do... It was in the last minute of first half.
That's right. If you want to do the thing where you don't consider like the fact that everything changes after a particular point in time, that's 2 points. And that's also like it causes a little bit of a swing there at the very end of the game. Like, but if you just want to go for that's 2 points... 2 points is the margin of victory here, right? Like that changes a lot in that moment. But the thing that the reason why that one is not going to haunt me as much, that's going to be a point. But you were up 12 later on in this game, and it wasn't that you didn't get those points that in a game where you really need to squeeze all of them out.
Yeah.
It's that you kind of fell off of a table at a certain point in the game. That's where I'm going to come to more if you're just talking about score.
You can look at it that way. You can look at it so many different ways, because that bucket would have put the Cougars up 8 points. With about 35 seconds left. So they could have gone into the half leading by 8 points. But instead, they didn't. They missed the goaltending call, and the Gators came right back down and knocked down a three. So it goes from a potential 8-point lead to the what was it at the half? Three?
It was a 3-point game, 31-28.
8-3.
Yeah.
If you Florida, you feeling a lot better at halftime. Like, all right, we here.
Yeah. So... yeah, that's one that's going to haunt people. What's going to haunt you guys? 713-572-4610. I got to mention it, apolitical as possible, Ted Cruz showed up.
The meme continues to be there.
You got
to
go. Dude, it's uncanny. Talk about uncanny.
Continues to be there. It does continue to be there. Like, I saw it and I was like, as someone who does not necessarily look into the superstition of things, like in a real way, I was like, damn, that's going to be there. Also, shout out to Ron for reminding me that I did get my hair twisted up between them winning and them losing. So, I mean, again, not superstitious. However, it's going to be this little thing that I go, damn, that sucks. You know what the thing is for me? That Juwan Roberts, after having a 6-year career and being like incredible player, especially this year, one that they could depend on when they got the ball into the paint against big dudes, small dudes, wide dudes, all sorts of dudes in the paint. Leaves this game 3 of 13 with 8 points. And then after the game, like, you hear it in what he is saying. And it's not just that he's emotional here, just in general, but it's listen to what he's saying, because, like, it really does get to the heart of it for me.
It means a lot. You know, it's the worst part about all this is I can't do it with these guys again. That's the whole big picture about it. You know, we lost, but I can't run it back. You know, I can't wear this jersey again to play with those guys next year. I think that's the worst feeling. And I feel like when you're part of family and you leave here last year, it's kind of like separated a little bit. You know, you got to go on with your life. I'm about to be out of college, start my professional career. You know, these guys won't be here, but these guys are always going to be family to me, 100%. And the worst part is, you know, seeing those guys' face, you know, when we lose. Because of all the stuff that we invested, you know, all year to get to Monday night. And, you know, it just didn't go our way.
This is supposed to be like, supposed to be the final portion of it. And it's not even, it feels like, I mean, yes, he's emotional there, but it feels like he's still pretty reined in. Like, all of this is something that he's thought about in a real way. And you can hear the disappointment, obviously, in not being able to get it done. But I'm sure there's a level of disappointment for him in general, that he is a guy that they trusted when they got on the ball to make shots. And he missed some bunnies that I'm sure that he is regretting in a big way.
One very end that could have really been a big bucket. And I kind of got a pit in my stomach just listening to him. How'd you like to be? Here's another one that's just going to be haunting. And, you know, we haven't. I mean, it's unfair in a way to sort of blame him. But you're never going to forget the image of Emmanuel Sharpe.
Yeah.
I mean, you just can't. It's Lorenzo Charles. By the way, you know, some people might not know this. That was a shot attempt that Lorenzo Charles caught and put in. That was just a fluke Hakeem Olajuwon got sucked out too far in the lane. Ball landed right in his hands. He put it in. That image is just lasting forever. I mean, Sharp, you can see it. You're going to see it in your mind's eye like the rest of your life.
Yeah, and he's going to carry that with him, which really stinks because he loves putting that shot up. And I think I think if you'll allow me to speculate and get into his mind in a way that I reasonably just cannot, I think in that moment, that's a dude who goes, I am a shooter, I'm expected to shoot, and this is what I can do for my team in this moment where they need me, is put up the shot. Walter Clayton did a great job of closing out, but you could just feel it within Emmanuel Sharpe where he's like, I just really want to get the shot off.
Yeah.
And he got up in the air and it was too late because the shot was not there to be taken. What do you say to the folks that then say, just try and create a foul there as opposed to putting the ball down? Because like not just ball fake.
That might be a foul.
That's if you stay on the ground.
Yeah.
But he's already in the air. Try and generate that contact to create a foul, especially with the way that the officials went from a pretty open game to then tightening it up to a relatively tight game. Do you think that you could have gotten foul shots out of that and maybe won the game extended it?
I know I will. I have to see it again. I thought the defender just flew by, you know, and it wasn't even that close. He just flew right by him. There's a lot of things that are just haunting, and this is a good one. This was a Cougs game that totally played un-Cougar-like. I mean, it was. Like, where did that come from? They've never been out of character like that before.
Yeah, and so I think that'll haunt. And then the thing that I really don't love thinking about is, was that your best chance, and will you get another one, right? I know that in 83, you came back in 84, but Georgetown was just significantly better.
Yeah, they were not
going to be
there. Yeah.
I really hope that you're in a place where, and I mean, with the being in a power program or being a power conference, with ways that the UH has kind of set themselves up where they're starting to kind of knock on the door trying to be at least viewed as a blue blood basketball wise with the respect that Kelvin Sampson has, that they're going to remain in that place. But you cannot know for certain, especially you're losing some of the guys that you depended on. Two of your strongest guys when you talk about Jaywan Roberts and LJ Cryer. And I take you to The Athletic putting together their men's college basketball way too early top 25 rankings. This don't mean a lot, but I guess it's based off of just kind of what these teams look like. They will be projected starters and returners and stuff. The number one team on this top 25 for next year is Purdue.
Okay.
A good Purdue team that you did beat on this way, but they're projected to return a few guys. The starting lineup, though, looks like it's going to be it's going to be relatively different here. Mm-hmm. But Braden Smith returns, that great guard. Number two is this Florida team. They still have Florida up there, even though Walter Clayton Jr. is probably going to be a draft pick. They have some other guys, but Alex Condon, who played well, he'll remain. And then number three is the University of Houston. Mm-hmm. With your projected starters, Milos Uzan returning, Emmanuel Sharpe returning, Terrence Arsenault stepping up into that spot that LJ Cryer leaves.
Yeah.
Chris Sinak Jr., who would be a freshman, one of those highly recruited.
He's the five-star.
He's the five-star with JoJo Tuggle. Like, it does seem like you can kind of put that similar team together, but what's notable is that experience that you had this year, one of those real strong calling cards that we really that we had a lot of pride for this team and we said helped them get to this place. It's not going to be there in that same amount of spades for that team next year.
You got to rebuild it. I know there's a culture there and the way he recruits certain players that fit what he does, that are willing to take that coaching, willing to be, work that hard and all that. But you still have to kind of rebuild it. From one off season to the next. So, yeah, there's no guarantees, and there's no guarantees, we've mentioned it, you know, how much longer he's going to coach. It could be 5 years. I don't know, but it could be 1 year. So who knows?
Yeah, but unfortunately, the Cougs didn't get done on the text line from 346. They said that my wife came to bed and said, I hate sports.
Yes.
So it told her that this L is going to drive these dudes to be great. Okay, if you want to view it from the positive perspective, like, do you think that this ends up being a driver for these fellas and for that level of success in the future? Hopefully so. From the 281, ESPN has the Cougs number one. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Like, let's hope that continues to be the case. But this was just a prime opportunity on the table for this Cougs team. And it does hurt that like someone like LJ Cryer was not able to make the history that it felt like he was ready to make, winning a championship with two different teams. That would have been really cool to see as well. And you mentioned, the person who was saying that if they had played Cougar-like basketball, it would won. One more thing when it comes to the idea of the things that will haunt. Will Richard keeping Florida in the game with the first half that was really hot. Clayton, Walter Clayton having a goose egg but seven assists, mm-hmm. like allowing him to impact the game in that different way, is going to stick with him. Choke job of the century, says the 832. I don't know if I go that far, but it definitely
had some moments.
There definitely were some moments, but yeah. Unfortunately, the Cougs fall 65-63. Salute to the Florida Gators, a very good basketball team. And really the biggest thing is just you're going to have to wait a little bit longer for that Kelvin Sampson final stamp because, I mean, Hall of Fame basketball coach.
Yeah.
Like Hall of Fame basketball coach. And it just feels like
Guy V. Lewis.
The only thing that's not allowing him to get that fullness of the love that you see for some other greats out there is that championship. Till next year. All right. You're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next is the time where we typically do our lunchtime confessions presented by the Men's Clinic, and we will do that. Next.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sometimes it's sports, sometimes it's not. Whatever it is, Reggie and John are keeping it real. It's In the Loop's Lunchtime Confessions, presented by the Men's Clinic on Sports Radio 610.
These are my confessions.
First of all, welcome back, Figgy. I know you had a nice long weekend. Hope you enjoyed it.
Yeah, I did.
My confession is I've never missed you more than I missed you yesterday.
Really?
In this segment. I think it was, this next segment, I think. It was at 12:40 or so.
Mm.
So, somehow.
What did I do?
Yeah,
I'm about to say. Here it comes. All right, I'm just waiting.
I feel love.
So you are, but that's not why.
Yeah, see? It ain't even about you. He's just using to get to other people. Look at that.
So, somehow, some way, it was mentioned that the Dynamo finally got a win.
Correct.
How about that?
Yep.
Okay.
You say somehow, some way. It was winners and losers of the weekend. I was letting.
That's what it was. They won at 12:40, wasn't it?
They won on the weekend. They had a great goal, and they actually got a win for the first time this season. I thought that was worth mentioning real quick.
My guy over here, your guy over here, said.
Damn, not
literally,
your guy.
Literally said, well, the expected goal percentage on that was. Dude, we're using expected goal percentage in soccer now?
Well, they've been using it for quite a while. But I think the point was to highlight that... Look,
you don't need to say expected goal percentage.
Yeah, because it was
a good goal.
To highlight that it was a good goal is that... I mean, it's what we do with it. With how improbable was the comeback against Duke, now, right? With a few minutes to go, the win percentage was at 98%.
Now, do you do that with the catch rate, like in the outfield?
Well, I don't mind that as much.
Well, where I do it in baseball, where it's notable, is the expected hit percentage on, like, that hit would have, been a hit 78% of the time. What
it'd be a fly out in the outfield. The expected catch rate was.
Figgy, we're going advanced analytics on MLS soccer.
I think Reggie got a problem.
He's got a problem.
What you mean?
He's got a problem. I mean, what are we even
y'all act
doing?
Like I'm
sometimes
doing...
you got to find the right person to nerd out with. Some stuff, if you feel like, oh, this might be a little too nerdy, you know what? I'll stay to myself on this one. Unless somebody else brings it up.
You know what y'all are? Y'all are the people that are like, nah, none of y'all can have pineapple on your pizza. Like, if you don't like pineapple on a pizza, that's fine. Cool. I'm just laying it out for all the listeners. For some people, they just heard there was a goal, and it was a good one. But for some people, they're like, how good was it? Right? Here you go. Just letting you know. He made an improbable goal.
Hey,
Shout out to them.
Hey, the goal was good.
It was a good goal.
That was the goal. The basket good.
Leave it at that.
We don't need a percentage on how good it was.
See, and now y'all doing a lot here on the text line. I thought y'all was my friends. From the 408, please do not bring American sports statistical analysis to soccer. Look, let me tell you, it's not the Americans that brought the XG to soccer. Soccer been on that XG already anyways. And, of course, it's not the primary way that I look at it. I just think that's an additional way to add a little bit of, context to what's happening here.
Man, we're talking EPA basically on soccer.
All right, so I just came. I can't mention any additional stuff, huh? I just got to tell you the dry, cut and dry. Huh? Yeah. He scored a goal and they won. That's
I was looking in that studio and I'd love Byron, but I was like, man, where's Figgy? This would be fun.
y'all just like jumping me, man. All I'm trying to do is give y'all information. This is what I get for my trouble.
We give you your ball back, man. All right, man. Here's your ball back.
These are my confessions.
I had an absolute blast hanging out watching this game in public. Like, I feel bad because all that was left was for them to win. It was so fun watching this game out in public. Like, yeah. I can only imagine what it was like watching the Cougs beat Duke if you were watching amongst people.
That's true.
So my confession is, I think I need to work a little bit harder on watching these games amongst other people. Like, it's better to just be able to sit and like run things back, whatever, on the TV.
Yeah.
But it's also so much fun to just be like hang out with folks and eat.
Get a little crazy.
And eat a quesadilla.
Make a little noise.
And make a little noise.
Yeah.
I will say that's the sub part of the confession. I didn't realize I was going to fan out in the way that I did. I was out here jumping up and yelling and clapping at things. Like, yeah. I looked like Draymond Green. Like, yeah.
Let's go.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Yeah. And I was like, oh, okay. I didn't realize I thought I was going to be subdued. Nope.
Watching a game with T-Mill is fun, too.
That is also part of it. Yeah. That is absolutely very much part of it.
Yeah.
So he had a couple of shots for me,
yeah,
as I'm sure you expected.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a good time, except for the fact that, you know, the thing happened.
Y'all want some breaking news real quick?
Sure,
this might relate to the Rockets a little bit. The Denver Nuggets has fired Michael Malone, their head coach.
Wow.
That just went down 2 minutes ago.
Man, that is...
I thought you were setting up your confession. I thought it was something funny.
It kind of shocked me a little bit. Yeah. That's why I'm like, is this where I had to check to see if it was real? But, crazy.
That is real.
My confession.
All right, back to my confession. So, Reggie, you were out, at Lil Woodrow's?
No, we actually ended up at, what is it?
Where?
Cobos Q.
Oh, yeah.
Because
Lil Woodrow's was...
Yeah, it was packed.
It was out the line. So line out the door.
So y'all was watching the game. Y'all had the sound on and
sound
all that stuff.
Sound on. That was also real good.
That's important.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that didn't go so well for me where I was watching the game. So I was at Cam Houston.
Okay.
And, you know, on their social media, I'm going to put them on blast because I like Cam Houston. Mm-hmm. I like going there. Food and all that stuff is good. But I was so disappointed, man. So they were promoting, watch the Cougs here.
Mm-hmm.
And we have this special, that special. So I'm like, cool. We went to a little birthday dinner for my wife and all that stuff. And I said,
happy birthday.
Yeah, her birthday tomorrow.
Okay.
But yeah.
Happy birthday in advance.
Yeah. So I'm like, you know what? Let's go to Cam Houston. They got these specials and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Watch the game outside. Like, nice little vibe.
Yeah.
Man, they had a damn DJ going.
Oh, no. Not on that night.
They had the game on, but no sound and the DJ going.
Yeah.
I'm like, man, come on, man.
There are certain games you just don't do that.
We got to have the sound on for this one, man.
Yeah,
hey, the girls can chill out.
Yeah.
They don't need no music right now.
They get into
we
it.
We can play the music during the commercials.
Yeah.
We can have the DJs spin the ones and twos during the... I'm like, y'all over here playing the DJ?
I think he needs to open a place. He knows how to do it.
So, all right.
Dude,
so
I was so mad, man. And I ain't had time to be trying to go somewhere else to try to find that because I was with my peoples and stuff. So I'm just like, man, I'm sitting here just watching the game on mute, listening to music, man.
All right, so what's the level where the sound needs to be on in the establishment? Like, what's the level of game, right?
Oh, yeah, so yeah, no, playoff games.
Local team playoff game.
Local team playoff game.
Because you agree,
game.
Right? I mean, like, that was a sound-on game.
Yeah.
100%.
And that's a different type of place because I don't think people go there to watch a game.
You go
more of a sports bar.
Yeah.
But this one, like,
they advertised it, though. That's the problem.
That's the thing. Yeah. They said, come here to watch the Cougs game.
Yeah.
So I'm like, all right, cool. They going to have the sound on and all.
Well, to be fair. And if you was gonna try and sue them, they did say watch. They ain't say watch and listen.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
I'm with you.
I was so disappointed because like I understand if it was the Astros game, then I understand
just
not having
the
sound
April
on.
Game.
You just got in the one, but this is for everything, man.
Mm-hmm.
You know how crazy it would be if the Cougs won last night.
Yeah,
like people would probably.
I did think about that too. I was like, I felt bad. Just like the vibe in general,
dog. I was talking about going to Third Ward, man. I'm like, I'm gonna go to Third Ward, just ride around, and just honk the horn.
That'd have been nuts,
man. But
that'd have been great.
I was.
Can I steal the next confession because my confession actually ties up with what you were just guys were just saying.
All right.
These are my confessions.
I think I did the thing that you're not supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
I started talking about with T-Mill and the other folks who were hanging out. What would they do if they won the championship? Is it the parade?
Oh,
is
it man. You're celebrating early, man.
I broke the seal. Yeah. I shouldn't have done that. Can we still have the conversation?
It wasn't your hair that did it. It was that.
That's right. Can we still have the conversation, or is that taboo?
No, it would have been a parade.
You think they would have done a full parade downtown?
I say it all the time. It says Houston on their front.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Because I was like,
that's a college that's in the city of Houston in Third Ward.
Yeah.
So that's a Houston squad, man.
Yeah. I was like,
no matter what school you went to, man, that's for sure. Houston.
I was revving up, obviously, but I shouldn't have broke the seal. I apologize.
Yeah, man. I did that with the Texans playoff game when they blew it against Kansas City. I was already thinking, I'm like, man, they might play Tennessee.
Yeah.
That's going to be I think Tennessee at home. I think they would have been playing here.
How about those people that were in line at Academy?
Oh, that sucks.
They were in line at Academy waiting for them to open after the game.
I wonder if there's just someone who work at Academy. Who stole them one?
Just one.
Just steal you one to have, you know? I know we got to put these back in the box and put them on trucks, but let me just take one right quick in a medium.
These are my confessions.
I've entered a toxic relationship.
Congratulations.
Oh, man. Yeah, I have entered a toxic relationship with Rory McIlroy.
Oh.
Okay, how long y'all been in it?
Well, it's going on about 3 years now. Okay. You know, don't sleep on this.
I don't see no ring on your finger yet.
And we'll cover this in a lot more detail starting on Thursday. But this is Masters Week, man.
It is. It is Masters Week.
And anybody who listens to this show knows I am a big fan of golf, especially the majors. And every year I enter every single, golf pool that I can. And I went back and looked. I have picked Rory McIlroy in my first tier. You know, they have tiers or whatever that you can pick a golfer from each one.
I'll let you tell me about that.
Yeah, it's like six tiers. You pick one from each tier, and then your score is like a fantasy.
Fantasy golf, and that's how it goes. Gotcha.
I've picked him in the first tier five times in the last 3 years. He's lost and crashed all five times. I have not picked him in whatever the rest of the number is, and those were the ones that he won the majors. So I picked Rory because he's so hot right now for this week's Masters in my first tier. Ahead of Scottie Scheffler, ahead of Morikawa, ahead of all these guys, because I think he's so hot. I think he's going to finally break through on the Masters. So you can pretty much guarantee he's going to crash and
very
burn.
Good. And actually, that leads to my next confession, which
these are my confessions.
We got somebody who tweeted us and said, are y'all going to hold Lopez accountable for his lock? That the Cougs would not just win it, but win it by, what was it, double digits that you said?
You said it was a lock.
I said 6 to 8 points, maybe double digits, and they should have.
You said it was a lock.
Lock.
Oh, man.
Lock. They should have.
It's your damn fault.
Somebody had the key to unlock it,
No,
apparently.
They should have. I stand by it, man. I make that bet again. It's like in gambling, people always say it. I lost the bet, but everything that I said in that bet was sound. The Cougars.
The process was good, is what you're saying?
The process was good. The bet was sound. The Cougars were up 12 with 16 minutes left. I was like, I tell you the confidence I had in that bet. The Gators were favored by 1.5 points. I created an alternate line, Cougars favored by 4.5, and that way I would have won like $200 on a $50 bet. I'd make that bet again. Cougars should have won. They should have won easily. Anybody watch the game? Did anybody watch the game?
We all watched
a lot of that game.
Do you think the Cougars should have won and maybe even by 6 or 8 points?
Woulda, coulda, shoulda.
I know, like I said, but it was a sound bet. Do you think the Cougars should have won by 6 or 8 points at least?
I mean, yes, but that's not how betting works. I'd win a lot of bets if it was just off of what I thought should happen.
What should have happened,
You don't always win your bet, but the bet was a sound
bet. The Texans should have beat the Chiefs.
The bet was a good bet.
And Lopez,
I would do it again.
I will tell you, this is why. This particularly is why I do not bet. Because I'd be like, no, this makes sense, and it don't happen. I'd be like, well, I thought it made sense
until the last 4 minutes.
And that's the problem. That's the problem with a lock, ain't it? Right? Because the lock don't consider what should have happened. It's just what happened. And right now, your lock looking real creaky.
Hey, I would do it again.
I would not use your lock to put my bike up. My bike would be gone.
Ask anyone who saw that game. Who should have won? How much should they have won by?
Well, I don't think that's how what
that's how it works.
Vegas,
I get it.
Vegas don't do it like that. So, yeah, your comeuppance is here.
Nuggets also fired their GM, Calvin Booth.
What do you want to talk?
Wow.
We need to probably discuss. Right, what's going on?
All right, well, those are your lunchtime
concessions. Is it Black Monday?
It was a Tuesday, first and foremost. Yeah. So, this is a weird Black Tuesday going on. All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Again, appreciation to the Men's Clinic for presenting Lunchtime Confessions. Coming up next, let's talk a little bit about it. The Nuggets just fired the two, you know, most important people in their brain trust and their organization. And what does that mean for the Nuggets? What does that mean for the Rockets? Not just this season in the playoffs, but also moving forward. What does the landscape look like in the West? Let's talk about it next.
Live from the Mokarem Injury Lawyers Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula.
All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Yes, you're right, Texter from the 832. Lopez was out here trying to tell us
like
that
Daryl Morey,
his bet was a lock.
Yeah,
but he missed it. But it don't matter, because if you look at this sheet right here, actually it means that they won.
They really won the game.
And if you just don't look at the last 8 minutes of basketball, they really did win the basketball game. Yeah, that's right. All right, some interesting breaking news happening in the world of professional basketball. The Denver Nuggets, one of the many teams that are in that space below third in the West, like in that large glut from third to eighth in the West, that all are separated by maybe half a game. They fired not only their 10-year head coach that took them to the championship, Michael Malone, they also fired the general manager in this period. And so, like, I just wanted to kind of break this down a little bit and ultimately try and circle around to what this means for the Rockets. What catches you first and foremost out of this, Lopez?
Well, first of all, the bizarre nature of it. I truly thought Figgy was kidding around and setting up some kind of a, you know, confession that was funny about whatever. It's just bizarre. But the second thing, and I think this is the most important thing, if you're a basketball fan and certainly, you know, if you're a Nuggets fan, but it does pertain to the Rockets, and we'll get to that. None of this is the general manager and the head coach of a team that won the championship 2 years ago.
Yeah.
That doesn't happen unless one of two things happen. It's the owner and the general manager and head coach having a vast, you know, difference of opinion on things and arguing and fighting about something or another. Or Jokic.
It's quite possible.
Jokic has to have been involved in this somehow.
There might be a secret third option, which is I'll bring in another firing that happened earlier with another team that is slated to be a playoff team, the Memphis Grizzlies, now lower down, but only by a couple of games, funny enough, because of the West. Mm-hmm. Taylor Jenkins, the head coach there, was fired. And it seems like, from reporting, that was kind of clashing within the organization on philosophy of the way that he was going about things. It could be one of those things where it's like an organizational kind of clash to some degree, but I guess that's what you're speaking of with your best player or with the ownership. I do wonder if it happens somewhere else in that organization, although in this instance, the general manager gets fired as well, so it does feel like that's an organizational thing, but I can see to some degree firing these parties in the offseason.
Sure.
This is a team where their supporting cast that had been so strong for them, they lost some guys. If you want to specifically get to some of the names, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope leaves. He was one of their shooters. They lost Bruce Brown a couple of years ago, who was helpful and instrumental in their championship. And they've had to lean on younger and younger guys. Some of them have worked like a Christian Brown, and some of them not so much.
Mm-hmm.
Like a Zeke Nagy. I think Julian Strother they're trying to make work. But they have... That I think for right now, what that puts them in a place where they're fourth right now, but they've lost four in a row, and they look like their heads are down. They don't look like they're ready to play good basketball, which means I would love for the Rockets to face off against the Nuggets at some point in the playoffs if that finds a way to happen, if they continue to slide here down the stretch. But I think in the larger string of things, what do you think that this means for the Rockets and for the West? Like, do you think this... I feel like this goes one of two ways. The Nuggets go down as an organization because they're just in a place where they now have to try and rebuild this again.
Mm-hmm.
Or do they bounce back up under the premise that the coach and the general manager that they had previously been under were losing the rope, and now they bring in another group who are going to recapture the rope and then retool this thing back up to the top of the West? Because the West is full of a lot of teams.
Yeah.
And I think a season like this year is interesting because you have probably like, what, 10 teams that are really interesting, but that doesn't last for a long time. Eventually, some of those teams filter out And then there's teams that climb to the top. And thankfully, the Rockets are up towards the top. But I'm interested. Which way do you think the Nuggets are going?
I don't think there's any way you can. Well, I mean, maybe you can. But for me, there's no way that you can look at this as any kind of possible threat. Like, they're not going to be as good. You have this kind of change this late in the game. What are we, three games away?
Well, in this playoffs, I think I agree with you there,
right?
For
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, so it's
you don't think they're gonna make a run, no. A championship run.
But the funny thing is, and you were mentioning it in the break there, Figgy. I kind of was like wondering, worried a little bit about the Nuggets. I mean, not a lot.
You really
yeah. Not a lot because of the Westbrook thing. Now maybe that.
Westbrook ain't breaking up that team.
No. What I'm saying, maybe there were some serious differences of opinion.
Oh, on bringing him in.
On bringing him yeah, in. Or even the,
on, his, on how they're using minutes. Him, bringing him in, his minutes.
It is fair. They were. He was starting for a good long stretch of time when you probably needed to make the argument could have easily been made that playing someone like Christian Brown, a young guy who is more efficient, who mm-hmm. doesn't have some of the, let's say, rough edges that Russell Westbrook is going to come with and that you are probably going to need to factor in these playoffs that are coming up, getting him those minutes earlier rather than giving Russell Westbrook minutes who you know exactly what he is and who and what he can do for you. Like, maybe that was the difference of opinion.
Well, keep in mind that, you know, Jokic scored 61 points and they lost the game because of Westbrook. And then a couple of days later, they lost another game because of Westbrook.
Yeah.
And then, by the way, he ain't talked to the media.
And then when he finally did, he was just like very, very evasive and
maybe,
all that.
Maybe there's a lot of drama going on. Yeah.
Well, it's some kind of drama. There's no way it can't be. But it's either owner and then, you know, whatever it is, the players, you know, sort of revolting, but or not revolting, but, you know, having a big say in this. But then you talk about the Rockets. Look, the team I would most want to play is still Memphis. Denver was probably second or third, you know, with the Lakers somewhere in there.
Sure.
You know, but
I think Denver is definitely well, the tough part about it is Jokic himself is a monster. And the big what if, the big question mark that exists anytime you play a Denver Nuggets team in this era with Jokic is Jamal Murray healthy and producing? Because if he is, he can drop a 50 ball on you like that.
Yeah.
Like in an instant. And that becomes really untenable. But you have the bigs to throw at Jokic to make it tough on him, and you definitely have the wings to make it painful for the not that solid supporting cast that Jokic is dealing with. So I think I'd put them as second, absolutely, after the Grizzlies at this
point. The other thing that you mentioned as it pertains to, you know, the Rockets and really any NBA team, it comes at you fast, man. Like if things go awry, you know, pretty quickly, everybody's like, oh, hey, you know, Raphael Stone, you know, things are looking good. What are, you know, a couple of good decisions here. Dude, if like certain things happen, Jalen Green doesn't advance again, and maybe, you know, some other players, whether it's Şengün or whomever, things start to fall apart. If they don't have a great, you know, offensive sort of uprising in the next few weeks and next few years, boom, just like that, it can happen.
It's one thing firing the GM and the coach if y'all not in the playoffs and y'all having a bad year, but these cats are still in the playoffs, man. They're gearing up for the playoffs. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm like, dang.
What do you make of that timing? Because we're seeing that's multiple now coaches
the second time
that have been fired with this particular timing in the season, like with this playoffs still ahead of them, with teams that are expected to participate in playoff and postseason activity. Like, what do you make of that, the timing that we're starting to see infiltrate the NBA with the lack of willingness to wait until the season is over?
I can't really remember two playoff teams firing their coaches this late in the season. I mean,
yeah, and these are not like playoff teams that's barely in the playoffs that just kind of snuck.
Well, the Grizzlies have kind of, I mean, but they're safely
they kind of slid down, but the Nuggets was in there, man.
And when what do I make of it? I think one thing that you have to look at is a lot of teams feel like there either is an opportunity or they've blown an opportunity.
Yeah. This is a year where the reporting is none of these teams are really afraid of each other.
Yeah.
And we've seen that specifically in the Rockets getting out here and beating the teams at the top of both of the conferences, in the Thunder in the West and the Cavs in the East. And, I mean, obviously more teams around that. Yeah, it just feels like, yeah, there's opportunity here. And I think that to circle back around to what you were saying about how quickly you can go from championship to, you know, firing portions of your brain trust, I think that one, it makes me appreciative of the seeming synergy and operational alignment that it seems like the Rockets have between Raphael Stone and Ime Udoka.
Yeah.
Like, it seems like they are in one accord, but I think it also speaks to the idea of make sure you hit Like, make sure you take care of this opportunity who, obviously, this year, I think you're working with House Money. But, like, I think that
let's just move forward 365 days.
I think this is why you go into the off season and you don't just go, hey, we look good and we're just going to stand pat. I think this is why you still go and you try and be aggressive in the off season to get yourself a star, because you want to push forward into that space and make sure that you hit for your lick while the window is open. Because we do this in sports a lot. We're like, well, this team's going to be here for 5 years, and 5 years from then, they're in a completely different space than we anticipated. These things move quickly, and I think this is another highlight of that.
And, you know, there are, you know, a lot of speculation coming out right now. And this is the other thing that can derail a team like that. Like, that's their first championship ever. You know, they should have built a statue for these guys. But it seems like, you know, there's reports about the rift between the two of them. So you fire them both. I don't know.
Yeah, that is interesting.
Yeah, I don't understand why that would happen.
Is that like
you would think one of them would win?
Right. Is that a split the baby? It's like both of y'all getting a whooping if y'all don't figure out how to play nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we got playoffs to look forward to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like you said, you would think wait till the offseason. You know, see how it plays out.
Right.
By the way, I ain't know Calvin Booth was the GM. I'm like, is that Calvin Booth that used to hoop?
That is Calvin Booth. I'm trying to think. Is basketball the one that does it the most of, like, players, former players making it into the higher rungs? Because I'm trying to think. Yeah. Baseball got into a bad space. Well, bad is probably judgmental. Got into a space where you started getting a lot of spreadsheet guys. You got a lot of Yale and Cornell.
A lot of managers and general managers are still.
But, yeah, of course, the baseball guys, for sure, on that level.
But basketball, they be having former players where you didn't even know there was the gym. Like, I want to say in Atlanta, Anthony Parker. I'm like, is that Anthony Parker that used to hoop? Candace brother?
Yeah, it's James Jones, Elton Brand and stuff. All these folks that end up in these high levels of the organization. That's interesting. All right. Do we ever get a reckless speculation sounder put together?
No, I'm a fine
because
one.
The 713 comes in here with some reckless speculation.
I love this.
We're not going to really get into a lot of hypotheticals and a lot of speculation.
Excellent.
Right?
They said Michael Malone and the GM, Calvin Booth, were involved in a massive gambling operation that defrauded the sports book, the NBA, the players, and the fans. And the NBA made a compromise to fire both of them in disgrace in exchange for not pursuing legal avenues.
Checks out.
Again, reckless speculation. It's the gambling.
Problem solved.
Now, who's the guy that played for the Nuggets? His brother got involved in that gambling stuff.
So that is Michael Porter Jr.
Yeah.
And Jonte Porter.
Maybe
the
it's some type
there.
Of connection right there.
Oh, look at you. You're in on it, too.
Reckless speculation, gentlemen.
You're in on it, too.
We're not going to really get into a lot of hypotheticals and a lot of speculation, right?
Thank you, Nick. We're not going to do that. All right. Real quick before we go, can I get Zach Lowe here? Because Zach Lowe just made his triumphant return to NBA podcasting. One of the better NBA reporters in all the game. And I say that in part because I really appreciate his work, but also in part because he's one of the folks in national media that seems like he actually understands and gets it right about the Rockets.
Yeah, their half-court offense is only so-so. It's trended better as the season's been going along. They've found something with this Adams, Şengün, just beat the hell out of you, double big lineup. Yeah, it might be flawed, their half-court offense. Their shooting is so-so. Their spacing is so-so. They are just freaking good and tough. Their defense is legit, and they are going to beat the crap out of you for seven straight games. And you're going to feel that whether you win that series or not. They can beat any of these teams 2-7, 2-8. Like they could win any series. And they reminded everybody of that last night.
Sure did.
Yep.
So I appreciate you. Shout out to Zach Lowe doing the good work and making sure that the people know these Rockets are legitimate. And I know he was talking about the shooting. Hey, just go ahead and look at the last 10 games if that sample works for you. 37.9% good for ninth. They've been shooting the ball from deep a little bit nice.
And you were talking about that earlier. I actually kind of surprised me. I didn't dig that deep into it.
And, I mean, you go to the last 15 games, it's like they're 11th. But that's a nice ramp up. Like, if you could find a way to shoot at that level, it absolutely increases the possibility of you making a nice little run in the playoffs. So shout out to the Rockets, who it seems like with this news, obviously, they I don't think that they had a ton of trouble with the Nuggets. Just I don't think the team itself shifts a lot. But I do think that this kind of points to an opportunity in this year and then also to come. Like the West is tumultuous. You've had two coaches fired in the last month or so before the playoffs.
47 and 32.
To say the least, it's tumultuous.
That is crazy. That's crazy. All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, let's talk a little bit about the Houston Texans. Is there anything that we've been sleeping on when it comes to the Texans' draft priorities? because let's see if some of the things that are under the radar might be possibilities. We'll do it next.